Friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So you probably thought when you looked at that bulletin cover and saw that I was here today, a woman pastor, you may have thought, well, of course, what a perfect opportunity for her to preach about God with this feminine image of a mother hen who protects her chicks, her young. And you know, when I looked at the text, I was looking at that and thinking about it, and I have this thing about not wanting to be pigeonholed. Pigeon or hen, you know. And I just kept thinking, no, that's not quite the thing I want to focus on. I kept kind of feeling this tugging from God to look at all of the lessons together. And as I did, as I looked at the story of Abram and God in Genesis, as I looked at Paul's words written from prison, as I looked at Jesus' own words to those who were warning him and to the city that he was going to be traveling to, and even the words of the psalm, one word stood out to me. One word runs like a silver cord through all of them. And that, for me, is the word and image of determination. Determination. Because in each of these passages, it seems to me that we see something of the determination that God has to show us God's love, to provide for us, to save us, to give us fullness of life, and to do so in a way that will never be questioned. I think about that reading from Genesis, and my Old Testament professor, Dr. Ron Halls, Pastor Deems had him as well. He made that passage come alive for me. It sounds pretty strange, doesn't it? You take these animals and you cut them up and everything. This is 1800 years before Christ. God has been engaging with Abram and Sarai now for about 10 years. 10 years before this event, God had said to them, "You will have your own child." Now, what made that kind of questionable in Abram and Sarai's eyes? They were old. They were past the time of childbearing, right? And even after God made that promise to them, first in the 12th chapter of Genesis, now 10 years later, we're in the 15th chapter of Genesis, and it has still not come true. And Abraham, determined to make it happen, had with Sarai even kind of made their own pathway to a child through Sarai's slave, Hagar, right? But God says, no, your own issue will be your child. And how does God make clear to Abram that that is going to happen? It's a strange story. You take these animals, you slice them in half, but not the birds, and you lay them apart from each other. There's a kind of a bloody path between. So Abram did as the Lord had commanded him to lay these animals' carcasses out. Now, Abram knew what this kind of thing, this kind of activity meant. In the Old Testament days when Abram lived, this was a way that two people or two nations made a covenant with each other, made a promise to each other. And what they would do is after they had split those carcasses and laid them out, the people making the promise or the leaders of those peoples would together walk that bloody path. And the understanding was, when I walk this path with you, if I don't keep my part of the promise, you can do to me what we did to these animals. Okay? It was a solemn, solemn promise. Goes even further than, you know, like blood brothers or whatever with, you know, pricking your thumbs and mixing your blood a little bit, okay? No pinky swear, a lot bigger and with a lot more consequences than that. But the interesting thing is, Abram falls into a deep sleep, and while he sleeps, he sees that very covenant cutting taking place. But Abram isn't walking that path. It's only God who does. God walks that path in the form of a smoking pot and a flame, as if to say, indeed to say, Abram, I am making this promise to you. You need to do nothing but receive it. I am determined to give you a child, to give you a land, and to bless all the peoples of the earth through this child and this land. That's the promise that God makes to Abraham. So determined is God to see that promise come to pass that God says, you can kill me if I don't keep it. That's determination. Fast forward 1800 years, and we have Jesus. At this point in the Gospel of Luke, he has set his face toward Jerusalem. He knows what is coming. He has been preaching and teaching and healing. He has raised the dead. He has cast out demons. And he knows that Herod is after him. He doesn't need anybody warning him about this. And if it hadn't been Herod, it would have been others. For God's people were bent on rejecting God's ways. But Jesus, God's love and God's determination in the flesh will continue to heal, will continue to cast out demons, and will continue on that pathway to Jerusalem, even though it will cost him his life. Jesus, in the words here in Luke, speaks not just of himself wanting to gather God's people, God's people of Jerusalem and really the whole world, but he speaks the voice of prophets from hundreds of years before and those who will follow. He speaks the voice of God when he says, how I have wanted to gather you under my wings, but you would not. You would not. In so many ways, God's people have rejected God's embrace, God's provision, God's healing, God's forgiveness, God's grace. And that rejection of Jesus will lead to him walking a bloody path to Golgotha, carrying the cross upon which he will be nailed. For he will be put to death for being the Son of God and for being God's determination in the flesh. But we know that his death is not the final word about him, right? We know that 3 days after he was laid in the tomb, that God determined that life will conquer death and that love will conquer hate, raised him up, and his tomb was empty. We can't say that A word right now, but if it weren't Lent, we would. Fast forward 20, 25 years, and we have the Apostle Paul writing to the Christians at Philippi from a prison cell. And yet it is one of his most uplifting, encouraging, powerful, joyful letters that we will ever read. Full of determination to trust God no matter what and to urge those who hear his letter to do the same. He is determined to imitate Christ and to urge those who read his letter to also pattern their lives after this one, the Son of God. And now fast forward to this day and age. stories of determination just this past week. A horrible massacre in Christchurch, New Zealand. I will not mention the name of the person who perpetrated that evil. He showed determination to destroy, to kill, to wipe out. But I will say the name of Naeed Shaheeb and his son Tahir, both of whom were worshiping that day and rushed that shooter, determined to stop him and to save his brothers and sisters if he could. That's the kind of determination God looks for. Those who seek life rather than death. Those who make peace rather than wage war. Those who desire to bring about healing rather than suffering. Closer to home, we saw something of mother's determination, didn't we? When we heard the story of those mothers and some fathers, I'm sure, who used their wealth and their privilege to secure their sons and daughters places in prestigious universities that they didn't actually merit. How I would gather you under my wings, Jesus said, but you would not. You take things into your own hands. You are determined to seek what does not belong to you at the expense of others who deserve it. But you know, then I also read the testimony of a young woman whose son was dying of leukemia. And she writes powerfully about that experience. The doctors had done everything they could, and those white blood cells were exploding, and no more red blood cells were being made. It was clear that this 6-year-old boy could not fight this disease any longer. And with the love only a mother could muster, she climbed into his hospital bed while he could still tolerate that closeness and touch. And she embraced him. She wrapped her arms around him and she said, "Son, you are not going to live very long. And you are going to die." She talked to him about how everyone dies and we die at different times. But she said, "I want you to know three things. I promise you three things. You will not be alone. I promise you, you will not be alone. No matter what time of day or night, you will not be alone. Number two, I promise you it will not hurt. Because the doctors are going to work to be sure that you are not feeling pain. And number three, we will all be okay. You will be okay. And we will be okay." You know, I read that and I thought, that is what God wants to say to us. That is why God wants to embrace us in the times that we are struggling or suffering, and at some point in our own death, to promise us through Christ and through Christian community that we will not be alone. We will not be alone. I know that promise of no pain is a very hard one to make. But I can promise you, God says, you will not be alone. And I can promise you, God says, that it will be all right. We will all be all right. The determination of a mother, a mother's love, in the face of unspeakable loss. These little glimpses say so much about God's love for us They also say something about how readily we push that love away. We reject those wings that long to embrace us. Yet God is determined, as Paul writes to the Romans, that nothing separate us from God's love, not even death. We are in the Lenten season. And it is common for pastors like me to say, we are on a Lenten journey. But Bishop Satterlee and actually a few others have urged us this year not to use those words. Because frankly, you and I aren't walking to the cross. We are not walking toward a horrible death. But we are watching the one who did. We are watching that love and that determination incarnate in the flesh. And each step along the way, as we observe, we pay attention, we listen, is an opportunity for us to learn a little something about how to live our life in these days. Friends, my prayer for you today is that some small bit of the wondrous determination that God has to love us, to forgive us, to restore us, to lift us up, to breathe endless life into us, that some small bit of that determination will spark in your heart today as you hear the word. And as you come to the table. For here at the table, a new covenant has been made and is renewed every time we gather. And what God does with that bread and that cup is to grow that spark of determination in you. In the name of Jesus, amen.